I will now be reading from John chapter 8, verses 31 to 38. I'll give you a moment to arrive there. So that's John chapter 8, verses 31 to 38. Hear the word of the Lord. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So, if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me, because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father."
Well, morning, everyone. We are in a short topical series. If you were here last week, you know that. We're looking at the question of lies. The series is called The Truth About Lies. And a couple of things just wanted to say to you that we are looking at various Bible passages, so it's not the typical look deeply into one passage because it's a topical series. That's the first thing I wanted to say. And then the second thing I wanted to say is that there are some things that might relate to a number of conversations that have been happening over the last couple of weeks. I planned this series a while ago. So if you're thinking, oh, he's saying all these things because of recent conversations, actually I planned this probably about 2 months ago. So just so you know that. I'm not picking on anybody. Just speaking the truth. All right. Well, I want to, as we think about lies and truth this morning, I want to show you a little video clip. It's a little girl, and this happened 9 years ago. Watch the video and ask yourself the question, have I ever done that? Okay, let's look at it.
Who did that?
Roman.
Who did it?
Roman
did it?
Well, he did that mess.
Who did that under there?
Roman.
But Roman's, where's Roman then?
Are we here?
Roman's at school.
But he's coming.
I didn't do it. Who did it?
Roman.
Did Sienna do it? You didn't do it.
Not me.
Wasn't you? No?
Roman.
Are you telling Mummy lies? You're not lying to me.
Yeah.
Roman did it. And it wasn't you. Sienna didn't do it.
There's one more chasing Mummy.
Have you made Mummy sad?
No, Mummy. Mummy.
Did you do it? Let me look at your hands. Who did that then?
Roman.
Roman did it. It wasn't Sienna. Huh?
Yes. Oh, your hands.
Are you naughty? Are you a naughty girl? What are you?
I'm a naughty girl.
Roman's a naughty girl.
So, have you ever done that? I have. One of my earliest memories, probably about 4 years old, was something similar to that. I think it's quite common in children to do that. I think it just shows what's in the human heart. When we become adults, we just become a bit more sophisticated. But that just displays, there really is rot in the human heart. There's a problem in the heart. Now, last week's sermon was entitled Words of Venom. Because lies are poison. They destroy people. If the mother had believed her, then Roman is in big trouble and he's going to have to cop the punishment. Lies can literally kill people. In history, people have been framed. And because the framing was so good, they've ended up executed. People have been murdered because of lies. Because the person that commits the murder was so angry about something that they heard and it wasn't true. People have committed suicide because of lies, because of the great shame that was put on them. Lies destroy trust, as we heard last week. You can't have a society if there's no trust among people. You can't have a family. You can't have a marriage. And so lies destroy. They are venom. No wonder lying is such a serious sin. Jesus speaks very strongly about it. As we saw last week from the same passage just further down, Jesus said that lies come from Satan. Jesus called Satan the father of lies. If we are given to lying, if that's how we live our lives, if we are not repentant over lying, you know, a repentance that seeks to put it to death, then we're probably not children of God. We are children, most likely, of a different father. So, last week, I hope that you came away convicted that it is indeed deeply wicked to be given to telling lies. This morning, I want to turn from the question of not telling lies to the matter of speaking truth. Now, you might think, what's the difference? There is a difference. Because there are times when there are things that need to be said, that are things that are hard to say. But if those things are not said, then our silence will allow bad to just continue. So here's a really small example. If you go to work and you see a workmate there with a little bit of Vegemite in the corner of their mouth from breakfast time, will you tell them? Will you point it out? Or will you just talk to them and pretend it isn't there because it's just too awkward for you to point that out? You see, they need you to speak a little bit of truth into their world at that point. They need that for their own well-being. Well, this morning we're going to look at speaking truth so that good might prevail. And I want to start by looking at Ephesians 4. We didn't read that. I want to walk you through Ephesians 4. So if you turn there in your Bible, it's a very important passage, Ephesians 4, teaching about how the church will become mature. So let's turn there for a bit. I hope you have a Bible at hand. At least one on your phone. If you don't have a physical one, we have Bibles in the foyer that you can use. We gather together to learn the scriptures, and so it's good for you to have a Bible that you can look at. So Ephesians 4, and I want to start walking through it from verse 11. When you look at verse 11, you see there that Jesus has given Bible teachers to the church. You will see words like apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds and teachers, they're all listed there. Now, not all of those roles that are listed there have carried on into the modern church, but some of them have. What I want you to notice about that list there is that they are all speaking roles. So Jesus has given to the church people who minister by speaking. And the question I want to put to you now is, what is the reason for this speaking ministry that comes from people who hold these kinds of offices? What is the reason? Keep reading. Look at verse 12. It is to equip. It is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So it is to equip the church. It is to equip the saints. The saints are you. all of those who belong to the Lord Jesus, is to equip you for the work of ministry. Did you realize that when you come to church on Sundays, did you realize that you came here to be equipped? Sunday is not just so that you can know some more stuff. Sunday is not so that you can just feel a bit closer to God. Sunday is not just so that you can do some worship. No, a key aspect to Sunday is that you are here to be equipped, if you're a Christian, to be equipped for ministry. And that is why it is bad to be irregular in coming to church. Of course, some can't for health reasons, and that's why many are online, including my son. I'm going to ask you when I get home if you heard this bit. But essentially, we need to be regular in church because otherwise we are missing so much. And if you're not regular, you're not going to be around to get to know this community of which you are a part. The community in which you minister, that you're being equipped to minister among all of these people. So the next question I want to ask is, what are you equipped for? Have a note, have a look at the text again. What are you equipped for? It says in verse 12, for building. For building up the body of Christ. Did you know that all Christians are meant to be part of the body being built up? What is the purpose of this building that we are all doing? It's in verse 13. What is the purpose? Well, I think one word pretty much sums it up. And it's the word maturity. Do you see where all of this is meant to end up? All of this building up that you all do as you're equipped by those that God has given to teach. Do you see where it's all meant to end up? We are meant to end up as a whole being a people who look like Jesus. We are being built up until, it says there, until we all attain to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is the goal. That is full maturity. What will happen if this is not happening? What will happen if the saints, and that's all of us, are not equipped and do not do this work? The answer is in verse 14. We do this work, verse 14, so that we, that means us as a church, we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. You see, if this ministry does not happen, that we all do, then the church is vulnerable to false doctrine and also to all kinds of human evils, craftiness, deceitful schemes. Okay, so we do this building ministry, but what is it exactly? What exactly are you as the saints and me too? What are we meant to do? Look at verse 15. You see, it says rather than being tossed all over the place in this chaos and confusion, rather speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. That's what we are to do. It says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. That's the maturity phrase. Grow up. Grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Do you see how the church gets to be mature? There's a speaking ministry going on. A truth-speaking ministry. So the church, all of these people that are around you are being built up as we do this work together. All of these people around us whom we dearly love, who make up a mature church, we all need to be speaking truth one to another so that we can be shining examples of Christ. As we are equipped Sunday by Sunday and in Bible studies and in other word ministries that go on, so we are more and more being equipped to speak truth to one another. It may be truth that's about doctrine, about what the Bible says, where people are not sure, not clear. It may be about questions of life that the Bible speaks to. People are wondering whether they should be dating someone or marrying someone, or how do we raise our children, or how do we relate to people in church of all different kinds and different generations. The Bible speaks to all these things. And so we become mature in these things as we speak to one another. And speaking truth may be about matters of godliness. In other words, confronting sin in each other. This speaking may happen informally. It may happen in homes as people just chat around the table. It may happen when you're hanging out with friends at a barbecue. And then it may happen formally in church ministries, like in Bible study groups, where you actually have a thing that is in the study that the group then talks about and helps one another with. An application point. Whatever it is, truth needs to be spoken for the good of the whole church. We know Christians are not to lie. We looked at that last week. But we also see that Christians are to be speaking truth. A Christian woman once told me how she had loved seeing the movie The Shack. And when she said that, my heart sank, because that movie is based on a terrible book. It's a book that is heretical. And I thought, I need to say something, but I didn't want to, because it's just so awkward, isn't it, to say to someone, they just tell you they love this movie. And now you're going to pour cold water all over that. But I did turn to talking about how it doesn't match Scripture, because I don't want my sister in Christ to be taken up with false theology. I spoke to her for her well-being, and also because she's one of the speakers in our community. And so she's an integral part of the whole process of us all being built up to maturity. If a father is exasperating his children by dealing with them harshly, and of course Scripture speaks about that, Scriptures tell the children to submit to their parents, but it then also says to the fathers not to exasperate their children. So what if someone you know is actually doing that, and it's clearly the case that he's exasperating his children? Will you raise it with him? You could be quiet, because it's so jolly awkward. You could say nothing. Will you raise it with him? If you're quiet, what will the consequences be? Perhaps children who don't like their home and can't wait to get out of it. Perhaps children who then, as they become adults, walk away from the gospel because their home distorted what the gospel really is. How loving it is to speak truth one to another. When I think of friends, and this has happened to me in my life, when I think of friends who've taken the trouble to point out things that are wrong in me, when I think back on those days, I think of those people with a great warmth. One of them was a former housemate. You live with someone, you see things. And when I think of him, I'm filled with great warmth. Why do I have that warmth? Because these people loved me enough to put awkwardness aside and to help me. I do think the church is generally weak when it comes to speaking truth, when speaking truth is difficult. Why is that? Is it because we are more concerned about our comfort? We don't want to cop trouble? In terms of being receivers of truth, is it because it's hard to come to you? Because perhaps you are defensive and lacking in humility that is able to listen and hear what someone else has to say. We need to ask ourselves, would we gently receive someone who carefully comes to us over a difficulty? Or would pride make it that we are difficult to approach? Is that another reason why truth speaking might not be so strong in the church these days? And so, let's speak truth and let's receive truth. It will shape us as individuals and it will see the church built to maturity. As an aside on the importance of speaking truth, I want to take a quick look at our times, at our age, because it's harder and harder to stand for truth in our day and age. The question of agreeing to call someone by their preferred pronouns when it doesn't match their biological sex. Something we need to be thinking about. I don't know if you've done thinking about this, but the question is this not a matter of truth? Is it good and godly to be affirming a person in something that's not true? We need to be careful with the pressure of our age. We don't want to be cancelled. That's the awkwardness. But we need to be careful that the pressure of our age does not lead us to being dull with the truth. Now, this is something you need to think through, and this is not what today's sermon is all about. But if you want to think more about that aside issue, I want to point you to Rosaria Butterfield. You can Google Rosaria Butterfield. She has something to say on this. Rosaria Butterfield is a former lesbian and LGBTQ activist who came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And in April of this year, she wrote about how she has, in her words, how she has repented of using preferred pronouns, agreeing to use them. Now, that's just an aside. We are under pressure in this age, and I think it's a pressure not to speak truth. Jesus says in the passage that we read, the truth will set you free. Well, the University of Texas has this as their motto. When it was being considered in the 1930s, this motto was chosen by the board because they believed that education will enlighten people. It will show them what is true, and that will bring freedom to society. Now, that makes sense, doesn't it? If you learn physics and the truths of physics, that does bring about good. It does bring about freedom. We've been able to make machines that have opened up space to us. Or if you know truth about the body, well, then we as a people are able to push back on disease. And so it goes on. So it is not untrue that if you learn things that are true, that can bring good. But this quote that they've got on their building and as their motto is from Jesus, and it comes from John 8. So we'll go to John 8 now. We need to understand what Jesus means here about speaking truth from this context. And so John 8, verses 31 to 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And here it comes. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What does it mean to abide? Well, it's related. The word abide is related to the word abode. Abode meaning the place where you live. And so to abide means to live in a certain way. So we might say that people need to abide by the rules, which means they need to live life according to the rules. Jesus is saying that true disciples, that true Christians are those who live according to his word. And so I ask you, if you're a Christian, are you a true Christian? Do you seek to live your life on the basis of Jesus' word? On the basis of all that he has said that we see in the scriptures? If so, then verse 32 is saying you will know the truth, that you do know the truth, and that truth will set you free. Our world is full of brokenness because it is not based on truth. Society sees more and more mental illness and marital breakdown and drug abuse, and so it goes on. And we are taught the lie in society of individualism, that we are the center of everything. And that is one of the reasons why so many people get offended so quickly. And in trying to resolve issues, they are so offended, so defensive, because they're the center of the universe, that they end up with shouting and flaming anger, that they smash other people's reputations, that they hold grudges, and this new thing that we've been seeing perhaps in the last 10 years, canceling people, canceling them for their views. That is our society, and it's insane. But the Bible speaks differently. The word of Jesus, this truth, tells us to be gentle, tells us to not let the sun go down on our anger, meaning to sort things out before the day is over, to not let it run, and to be careful to sort things out so as to not damage other people's reputations, unless they are so stubborn in their ungodliness that it makes it impossible. And then in Matthew 18, you have excommunication, which is public. But the beginning of that process is very private. And all of this stuff from the Bible is truth. It is the Lord's truth that makes things work well. In other words, that makes things work in freedom. Here is a quote that comes from The Australian this weekend. It's from Greg Sheridan in an article he wrote. The sociological evidence is overwhelming that statistically, people with a religious belief who attend worship regularly tend to be generally happier, healthier, and suffer less social dysfunction than others. And it makes sense. If you try to be sober, diligent, respectful, loving, have a higher purpose and value family, you probably will do a bit better in life. Isn't that freedom? Isn't that on the freedom trajectory at least? But is this exactly what Jesus is saying in John 8? I think we can say those things are true because we must live according to his word and obey his word. But I think it's a lot more than that in the context of John 8. So go back to John 8 and go back up to verse 24. Jesus said to them, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. That is the big truth that Jesus is talking about here. The problem of sin. If our sins are not sorted out, we will die in them. We will be spiritually dead for all eternity. That is what Jesus is saying in the scriptures, and it's a very unpopular thing to say in our world today. What does it mean to be dead in our sins for all eternity? It means eternity in hell. Imagine dying with our sins still on us. Imagine dying and facing God with our sins still on us. It's a dreadful thought. And that is the big issue that Jesus is on about. What will change that destiny? Have a look at verse 24 in chapter 8 again. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. It comes down to what you do with truth. You can't live without the truth that Jesus is he. A little later on, Jesus says this in John 14, 6, and it's the words from the song we sang earlier, the children's song. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is who he is. That is who Jesus is. That is the truth. Dear friends, you need to know that truth to be able to know him and abide in his word if you are to be truly free. Ultimate freedom is to be free of sin so that you can live, so that you can live eternally. This is what Jesus means in John 8, verses 31 to 32. Let's read it again. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, who had believed the truth he spoke, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." If this is so, then the world needs to hear this truth, which is increasingly difficult to speak into the world. But you see, we are Christians. We are truth speakers. Not only do we not want to be telling lies, we also want to be sure to be speaking truth. Speaking truth brings good. It brings people out of damaging ways. It helps people navigate life well. But more than anything, it brings people out of death and into eternal life. And so let us be people who speak truth, because we love our God and we love our neighbor. Let us speak truth so that good comes to all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please impress on us that we have words of truth. We know from the word that we have before us not only how to live our lives now in ways that are for our good and our freedom, but ultimately to know the one who is the truth, who deals with sin, who sets us eternally free. Would you help us not to be ashamed of speaking the word of the scriptures to those who need to hear it? Be it those who are Christians that need help from your word, or be it those who are not believers who need to know the truth for the sake of their souls. Help us to be a truth-speaking people. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.